we come to adore the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a word from the Lord today during this Advent season. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 9 and 6. When I see these scriptures and hear them, they take me back home. It takes me back to this special season that we celebrate, the Advent season, the season of great expectations. If you haven't, just say amen, give a thumbs up. Isaiah 9 and 6, just one passage. It reads as follows: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I want to preach today from the sermonic title, "Don't Lose Hope." Right. Don't lose hope. Now, you can relate to this. A recent survey listed the things that we tend to lose or that we tend to misplace. Yeah, you're guessing. Number one is the remote control, and then followed by phones, car keys, house keys, glasses, even when you're wearing them and don't realize that you're wearing your glasses, or some of you've done that, shoes, wallets, and purses that we always spend our time trying to find because we've either lost them or misplaced them. But I stopped by this morning to encourage you not to lose hope. Don't lose hope. That is that inner feeling that we have when we believe that our situations will work out for the best. Now, this goes beyond a glimmer of hope or a ray of hope or wishful thinking, but it is hope, I believe, that points towards faith. And Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." By hope, by faith, the elders obtained a great report. William Barclay, the late Scottish theologian and scholar, said, "Christian hope is the hope which has seen everything, the hope which has endured everything." Because why? It believes in God. Now, Barclay goes on to say that Christian hope is not hope in the human spirit. It is not hope in human goodness. It is not hope in human endurance or achievement, but rather Christian hope is hope in the power of God. Amen. In our text today, it is the prophet Isaiah who's speaking to a nation really that has turned its back on God, turned a deaf ear to God. And we're familiar with that because the generation in which we live, we've turned our backs on God. Let's be honest about it and face it. And God has been trying to call us back, get our attention. Isaiah issues what I would call a 600-year forecast. We wait for the weatherman or weather forecaster, weather lady, whatever you want to say, and they give us a 7-day. And we plan based on our 7-day forecast. But what about the 600-year forecast? He puts on the big screen of humanity what he's hearing about the soon coming king, what he's hearing about the Messiah. Isaiah is a fascinating book. We call him the major prophet. Isaiah is one who encountered God after serving King Uzziah for so many years. He says there in Isaiah 6 that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And is there one I could send? And he said, yeah, send me, but I'm a man of unclean lips. But don't you know God can use anyone? He uses Isaiah. And what he writes is really a prophetic picture of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. It includes his life, the announcement of his coming, his death, and his return. Now, this one passage we have become so familiar with, and we only use it sometimes during this season, Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Within this text, this passage, we see an example, first of all, of personal hope, and then of this hope that's promising for us. And we see also eternal hope. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the personal hope. For unto to us, a child is born to us. Worth pointing out that that's really inclusive, because what? To us. Aren't you in the community of us? It is personal. It invites us all in. And Isaiah speaks for something he won't even see. He won't even be around when the Messiah actually shows up. But God gives him the vision. Personal faith, a child is born. It speaks to our new beginnings. Jesus will show up as a babe at the appointed time. He'll come in that way. They were expecting this king to ride in on a horse, and they did not realize that Jesus would come as a child wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. But also he would come to us as a son. And we're talking about God's only begotten son in the person of Jesus Christ. It is a sign of personal hope. Amen?
Amen.
Hope that can fit where you are. Hope that can find you as you're going through your own struggle. And then you can't look at this part. The government will what? Be on his shoulders. Now, before you get it twisted, we're not talking Washington. Amen.
Amen.
We're talking a different kind of government, the government that Jesus Christ will set up in the millennia. Amen?
Amen.
This is the Messiah's rule over those who trust and obey. There won't be an election. Praise be to God that if you love the Lord with all your heart and soul, this government, this new government, will rest upon his shoulders. Mm-hmm. And you'll recognize him as the Lord of Lords, mm-hmm, and the King of Kings. Mm-hmm. And then Paul writes to one of his understudies, Titus, which I thought was a great word. He writes to Titus in Titus 2:13. He says, listen, we wait for the blessed hope, this kind of hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't you love the text? He would say, listen, there's a reason to hope. You may have lost it seemingly, but there's this blessed hope that we get from the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also a focused hope. Amen?
Amen.
He will be called Wonderful Counselor.
Yes, sir.
Mighty God. Let's just stop there for a moment. Isaiah describes the soon coming king as someone who is focused on our needs. Not everybody who says they care about you really cares about you. But this focused hope is focused on our needs, not necessarily our wants. And there's a difference. There are a lot of things you want, but what do you need? The Bible says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Yes.
This wonderful counselor describes the type of counselor he is. You say, well, is he licensed? Oh, yeah, he's licensed. Amen. All you have to do is speak and your situation will change and you can be on your own couch. And this wonderful counselor will meet your needs. Why? He's qualified to give us hope. He is the source of truth. He will tell you just the way it is. Has it ever happened to you that you went to the Lord looking for one thing and then truth about where the Holy Spirit let you know what you really needed to hear? Bible talks about this kind of Christ. Songwriter says Jesus knows all about our struggles.
Yes, he
will guide us till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus.
Yes,
counselor. Amen?
Amen.
And then mighty God talks about his strength. He's not just God, but he's mighty strong. Amen?
Amen.
And I can see that even in my mind's eye, that we don't serve a weak God. Paul talks about when I'm weak, he is strong. But we have to know that our focused hope is hope that we really just zoom in on and say, God, I believe who you are. You are my counselor and you are my mighty God. Psalm 42 and 5, the psalmist talks about this. He says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Isn't that a question to ask? Maybe you've not asked it like that. Why so disturbed within me? That's the battle that's going on within. And then he says, put your hope, there's the word again, in God, for I will yet praise him. And praising him in the midst of what you're going through, my Savior and my God. What a word that sometimes we lose our focus. Sometimes we're distracted by the things of life and circumstances, but stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Focused hope, personal hope, but also eternal hope. It says in the latter part of Isaiah 9 and 6, it describes him as everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Now, Jesus is called everlasting because he is forever. Some things are not forever. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Godhead is evident even in this text. He's an everlasting Father. Yeah, but isn't he coming as the Messiah? Yes, but it's God in three persons, the Holy Trinity. Yeah. Our God is not temporary. He's not short term. He's an everlasting Father. I had to laugh this morning. I was thinking about the commercial that was yet so popular many years ago, the Ever Ready Bunny. And you would see when all the other batteries ran out that he was still going. And the God that we serve is everlasting, that even when trials and tribulations come your way, he will continue to provide for you. That's what he does. He keeps going and going and blessing and blessing and healing and healing and delivering and delivering and saving. Can I get excited about that? And saving. Yeah. Jesus is also our Prince of Peace. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Prince of Peace. And peace is akin to hope. He will give you peace if your mind is stayed on him. He will keep you in perfect peace. Well, Reverend, you don't know what I'm going through. It's hard for me to obtain peace. Well, keep your mind stayed on Jesus. I don't know about you, but most of us, most nights, we'll pray ourselves out to sleep. Amen. Amen. You don't need to take no pill.
Amen.
Just pray, Lord. Say the Lord's Prayer. And before you know it, you're not counting sheep, but you're counting the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Let's look at 1 Peter 1 and 13. He says, therefore, with minds that are alert, there's that mind piece again, and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. I love the text. Why? The writers open it up because there's so many ways to describe him. And as promised, Jesus did come, and he did die, and he did get up on the third day morning, and he will return. And that's why we can build our hopes on things eternal. I love that hymn, hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Build your hope on things eternal, hold to God's unchanging hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in Port Hope in Ontario, Canada, there's a monument in Memorial Park that's not set up for a politician. It's not set up for a war hero, but it's set up for a man who gave his life to serving the poor. He was unselfish. He didn't have means, but he took time to provide hope. Don't you know that you are a hope dispenser? That you can go places and provide hope and leave evidence of hope where you go. And this name of the gentleman I'm talking about is Joseph Scriven, a devoted Christian who offered hope. And he left us with this poem that later became a hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Now, if that don't make you hopeful, my God, but to be privileged is to have special rights. To be privileged is to have special advantages. To be privileged is to have immunities. Amen? Amen. And I couldn't help but think about Hebrews 4:16. It's not on the screen, but I start writing. And as I start writing and thought I'd close the sermon down, Holy Ghost said, no, you're not done yet. Hebrews 4:16, let us do what? Because of our privilege, come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. Aren't you feeling more hopeful now that you may have began the broadcast searching for hope, but now God has given you hope? And then Psalm 24:7-10, a word of encouragement. There again, scripture just kept bubbling up. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, for the King of glory shall come in. It raises the question, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And then it says it again, lift up your heads. In case you didn't get it the first time, O ye gates, lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. He is our hope in times of struggle. He is the same yesterday, today, forevermore. He will provide all of your needs. He will be the hope that you need in a hopeless time. And so you can stop hunting because you've really found hope. If you actually think you've lost it, that means you had it. Yeah, you can't lose anything that you hadn't had. Aren't you glad that you have found your way and that Jesus has saved you? And because you are saved, there's new hope. I believe that today. Yeah, I know it may look bleak, but don't you stop hoping in the Lord. Paul talks about if you see hope, it's not hope. Hope is something you have to embody in your spirit man and your spirit woman. That is the word of God today. It is already blessed on this Advent Sunday in search of hope. And maybe today you're still looking. Maybe today you're out on a mission trying to find hope. And you've gone many places trying to find hope. But the hope that you need is right here. It's in the Word of God. It's in the Holy Scriptures. Today, be hopeful. I know that doubt shows up. Distractions will come your way, but don't you lose hope. I see you. You out with a search party. Call up people who are in your search party. You know what? Let's reclaim our hope. It can happen when you give your life to Jesus Christ. There are like-minded people that you can say, you know what? I just need a word today. Amen. I just need you to listen to me. Don't judge me. Just listen to me. I'm not feeling very hopeful now. And sometimes people need an ear. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we come in the name of Jesus and we thank you that we found hope. And for those who have never confessed you as Christ may not have the hope that we're speaking of. But the Bible says they shall confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their hearts that God has raised them from the dead, thou shall be saved. That saving hope. Hope for our souls. Hope for our nation. Hope for our communities. Hope in our homes. In Jesus' name. Amen. To God be the glory for all the great things he has done. And there are many things we want you to talk about with updates. We want to keep you informed on what's happening in the life of the church. You can do that by going to comtoharvest.org/updates. And you'll get, it'll be popping. You'll know what's going on. And we thank you so much for your sacrifice. The economy has been challenged, but you've been faithful in your giving. And we thank you, for it is good ground to plant in. And of course, if you want prayer, you can go many ways. You can contact us, comtoharvest.org. Sometimes people post prayers on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. I use it all to the glory of God. Amen. And we always want to encourage you in the Lord as it relates to finding good music in the area by Rejoice, musical soul food. And I walk a few days a week, and I keep that on to keep me on a good pace. Amen. I got some Soul Train stuff on too, but I do put on the Word of God. Amen. All y'all know you don't have all Jesus on your playlist. Some of y'all want to move, but we bless God for my good friend Mike Chandler, who has music all day long. And as you think about this time of giving, we want you to think about a stocking stuffer. That, yeah, you can buy a PlayStation, whatever, but give them children a book. Give your family a book that they might be able to learn about Jesus. Everything is at home now, pretty much. And so take a time. If you just get one thing out of here, you can find a link to this book on our website. To God be the glory.